Welcome back to the second 15-minute segment for this week. Remember the comprehensive website you can go to study the issue of church and state law is churchandstatelaw.com. churchandstatelaw.com, spelled just like it sounds. There you will find many resources to help you understand the issue of separation of church and state. Should you miss any of these broadcasts and want to get caught up, all the broadcasts are being archived on that website on the radio broadcast page. On the blog page of churchandstatelaw.com, you will find links to all the articles that I have written, as well as all the audio teachings which are on the Separation of Church and State Law blog. I think you'll find many of those articles and audio teachings to be very helpful as well. There's also a books page, a salvation page, after salvation page, apostasy page, and so on. Many, many pages there that you can go to find additional insights into the issue of separation of church and state. Before I get started on the study of self-government, I must ask you this question. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 14:6. If you're not saved, you cannot understand what I'm talking about. I encourage you, if you're not already saved, get saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. If you are saved, you can understand, but you will not understand without Holy Spirit-led study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We have just finished a study of the God-given goal of Christians. That goal is the glory of God, not the happiness of man. If you didn't hear that study, again, you can go to the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com and listen to that study. With the wrong goal, we will never be what the Lord wants us to be. We will never accomplish what the Lord wants us to accomplish. Now, I want to begin a study of self-government. Remember, we're studying the biblical principles concerning government, and I'm going to start with self-government. We must study these principles, precept by precept, line by line. Now let's get into the study of the biblical principles concerning self-government. Self-government was the first government ordained by God and is simply control or direction over oneself according to the principles of God's word. On the sixth day, God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. After creating the man, the male, God created woman out of one of Adam's ribs to be an helpmeet for him. Genesis 2:18 and also verses 21 and 22. God brought the woman to Adam and marriage was instituted. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:23. After creating them, as recorded in Genesis 1:28 and 29, and also chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we read this, quote, God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Close quote. Thus God, as recorded in the verses which I have just read, made a covenant with man and woman. Some call that covenant the Edenic covenant. The Edenic covenant, the first of the eight great covenants of Scripture which condition life and salvation and about which all Scripture crystallizes, has seven elements. the man and the woman in Eden were responsible under that covenant, number one, to replenish the earth with a new order, man. Number two, to subdue the earth to human uses. Number three, to have dominion over the animal creation. Number four, to eat herbs and fruits. Number five, to till and keep the garden. Number six, to abstain from eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Number seven, the penalty, death. God in the Garden of Eden gave man an opportunity to operate under self-government, under the constraint of only one simple rule. Man failed. Man was tempted by Satan to disobey the one small rule God had laid down, and mankind failed. We find that in Genesis 3, 1 through 13. Satan came to the woman and misquoted the word of God. He said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Eve quoted the word of God back to Satan, but added to it, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." We find that in Genesis 3, 2 through 3. Satan then directly challenged the word of God. He said, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3, 4 through 5. In Genesis 3, 6 and 7, we find this, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." At that point, God judged the serpent, the devil, the woman, and the man. We read in Genesis 3, 14 through 19, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Genesis 3, 14 through 19. Thus God gave what is called by many the Adamic Covenant. The Adamic Covenant conditions the life of fallen man, conditions which must remain till the creation also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Romans 8, 21. The Adamic Covenant consists of seven elements. Number one, the serpent, Satan's tool, is cursed. Genesis 3, 14. And he becomes God's illustration in nature of the effects of sin, from the most beautiful and subtle of creatures to a loathsome reptile. The deepest mystery of the atonement is intimated here. Christ made sin for us in bearing our judgment is typified by the brazen serpent. Numbers 21, 5 through 9, John 3, 14 and 15, and 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Brass speaks of judgment in the brazen altar of God's judgment and in the laver of self-judgment. The second element of the Adamic covenant is this, the first promise of a redeemer. Genesis 3:15. Here begins the highway of the seed, Abel, Seth, Noah, Genesis 6:8 through 10, Shem, Genesis 9:26 and 27, Abraham, Genesis 12:1 through 4, Isaac, Genesis 17:19 through 21, Jacob, Genesis 28:10 through 14, Judah, Genesis 49:10, David, 2 Samuel 7, 5 through 17. Emmanuel Christ, Isaiah 7, 9 through 14. Matthew 1, 1, and also verses 20 through 23. 1 John 3, 8, and John 12, 31. The third element, the changed state of the woman. We see that in chapter 3, verse 16. And we find this in three particulars. First, multiplied conception. Second, motherhood linked with sorrow. Third, the headship of man. You can see, for example, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The entrance of sin, which is disorder, makes necessary a headship, and it is vested in man. 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 14. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, and 1 Corinthians 11, 7 through 9. Today's woman in America, and generally speaking, today's men, have a lot of trouble with that particular provision of the Adamic covenant. The fourth element of the Adamic covenant we see in verse 17, the earth cursed for man's sake. It is better for fallen man to battle with a reluctant earth than to live without toil. The fifth element, the inevitable sorrow of life. We see that in verse 17. The sixth element, the light occupation of Eden, see Genesis 2:15, is now changed to burdensome labor. We see that in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 3. And finally, the seventh element, physical death. We see that in verse 19. You can also see Romans 5:12 through 21. Isaac Backus was a great Baptist pastor, author, and leader in New England in the late 1700s. I'll talk much about him when I get to the studies on the history of the First Amendment. Mr. Backus appropriately described man's state before and after the fall in the Garden of Eden. And I quote Mr. Backus, "Before man imagined that submission to God's government and acting strictly by rule was confinement, and that breaking over those bounds would enlarge his knowledge and happiness, how clear were his ideas?" We find that in one of the tracts that Mr. Backus wrote in 1773 called An Appeal to the Public for Religious Liberty. And that is found in the book Isaac Backus on Church, State, and Calvinism, Pamphlets, 1754 through 1789, edited by William G. McLaughlin. After his fall, because he felt evil, guilt, and misery instead of good and happiness, man tried to hide from the Omniscient One. And again, I quote Mr. Backus, "It appears that the notion of man's gaining any dignity or liberty by refusing an entire submission to government was so delusive that instead of its advancing him to be as gods, it sunk him down into a way of acting like the beast and like the devil." And Mr. Backus continues, "He had no sooner revolted from the authority of heaven than the beauty and order of his family was broken. God continued to hold man individually responsible for his spiritual decisions." In Genesis 4, the Bible tells the story of Cain and Abel. Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to God, which God did not respect because the offering represented Cain's own works. God did respect the offering brought by Cain's brother Abel, the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, because it spoke of the coming Savior who would give his life, shed his blood, for all who would trust him as Savior. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." Cain, as do all individuals, had the choice of coming to God by faith or doing things his way. God said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Genesis 4, 6 through 7. I only have a few seconds left for this second segment on this broadcast. After the break, I'll come back and finish this study of self-government. Let me encourage you again to go to churchandstatelaw.com and take advantage of the resources there. There you'll find archives of these radio broadcasts. You'll find a blog page which has direct links to Separation of Church and State Law blog. These teachings cover very important biblical principles. The Christian should be concerned about these principles. If you value the information you're hearing, go to www.lwrn.net and make a donation. I'll finish this study of self-government after the break.